Good morning, Harvest Church, and welcome to Harvest Church at Home. So glad to see you and connect with you today. Two Sundays ago, we were back on campus, and it was so good to be back on campus, but now we're back online due to the latest Sacramento County health orders that have been given out. And these are health orders, I want you to understand. They're not like health suggestions, but we received a health order that Sacramento County now is going up to the purple level, which is the widespread level, which prohibits indoor gatherings. So here's what's going to happen. We'll be back on campus just as soon as Sacramento County goes back down to tier two or less. So there are four tiers, number one, purple being the highest, and that's what we're in right now. But there's three other tiers that allow us to meet on campus. So as soon as we drop down to tier two or below, we'll go right back on campus and worship together. And that's what we really want to see happen. So I want to thank you for your partnership on this journey that we're all on together. And I want to just say that this journey has some unknown twists and turns as we've all just been seeing over the last months and even the last few days. You know, there's some who may ask, why don't we just continue meeting regardless of what our state or county governments have to say? In other words, let's just keep on doing it. Well, first, I empathize with everyone who may be frustrated because I'm often frustrated myself along with you over the circumstances we find ourselves in due to COVID-19. In fact, next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking about how to be thankful in the midst of all your circumstances. So check in with us next Sunday. But here's what I want you to know. As the pastor and a shepherd of a local church, if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of your safety and the safety of your family and our church family. And our Harvest Church board, I'm thankful to say, feels exactly the same way. And I think everyone agrees that government is necessary, but government requires governance. So that's where things get inconvenient. You know, everyone wants government, but nobody wants to be governed, you know? And so governance requires some cooperation by the citizens. And so we're trying to cooperate with our government as best we can. And so there's two ways I know to look at it. You know, if you feel like, well, the government is becoming overbearing, we want to push back on that. Some people feel that way. But I want to just see what the Bible has to say about government, all right? The Bible says this, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans, but he wrote this while Nero, who was the fifth emperor of Rome, was in power. And Nero, by the way, was an absolutely debauched human being, one of the most wicked emperors of all. And here Paul says, you know, be respectful of authorities because this is my will for you, and they've been set up by God. Well, then he goes on to say this, "Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves," or in other words, they'll bring the judgment of the government on themselves. So there's a place for mutual, you know, working together and mutual participation and mutual cooperation as we work along with the government who's been set up over us, all right? And then Paul writes this to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone." So what the word is saying is here, let's not get kind of just thrown into a tizzy here and just kind of be, you know, just upset about everything. But as best we can, let's slander no one. Let's be peaceable and considerate and always be gentle towards everyone. So in the middle of this pandemic, let's be ready to do whatever is good and to be peaceable and considerate, all right? So let me just say it again that we're going to be back on campus just as soon as Sacramento County is at tier two or less. And we know that's not going to happen for 3 weeks, but right after 3 weeks, we'll watch and we'll find out what's going to happen. But our signal is going to be once you hit tier two or less, we'll be back on campus right away, all right? So let's pray to that end. By the way, during this month of Thanksgiving, I want to just let you know how thankful I am for each one of you, especially for your prayers and especially for your giving and your tithes and your offerings. You've been so faithful over these last 8 months since we've been in this pandemic. Church family, I want to just encourage you, and I want to just thank you so much for helping us to stay out in front every week and every month. I honestly watch everything week to week and month to month, and God has been so faithful. And the reason why I know that God has been faithful to us here at Harvest Church is because God has been faithful to you and your family and your household. But it's something we never take for granted. So as you're giving today or giving later today online or sending in a check or whatever you do, I want to just thank you again for just being so consistent and so generous. In fact, the Bible says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house or provision in my house. And he says, prove me now in this and see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven. I love it when it says, I'm going to throw open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much so that there won't be room enough to receive it. And then the word of God says this, God says, I'm going to also rebuke the devourer on your behalf. That all takes place when we give. So I want to just say this, bringing is what we do, but blessing is what God does. So I'm going to thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and I pray that the Lord will bless you in such a way that you'll even be more faithful than you've ever been. In fact, God put that word in my heart about 3 weeks ago, just to encourage you to be more faithful than you've ever been. We're kind of in this for the long haul now. We know that going ahead. There are still weeks and months that we're going to have to walk through together. We're going to have to stay consistent, stay patient. But I want to just encourage you to be even more faithful than you've ever been as it pertains to your prayers and the giving of your tithes and your offerings. And God's going to see us through. Amen. So thank you. Today, I want to talk about getting through the fires of life. That's the title of my message. And there are times in life when it seems as if you are literally going through the fire. You know, it's like, it's an expression. Sometimes you'll just be kind of having so many things happen, and somebody will talk to you, and they say, how are you doing? You'll say, man, I just feel like I'm just going through the fire. Well, in California, we know about fires. In fact, we have our own fire season. And in fact, the last 10 years, the fire seasons have been at record levels for 10 years. But this year, 2020, our fire season has been the worst ever. Go figure. Seems like everything going with 2020 is kind of like the worst ever. So, but it's destroyed thousands of homes, think of it, and buildings, and burned down more than 3 million acres and something like 150 million trees. You can see the photograph that's posted right now, and it's one of many hundreds that you could find online of California fires just burning out of control and devastating everything in their path. And then you'll also see there's maps of the fires and the fire activities. This map that I'm showing you right now shows how widespread the fires have been in California, from the north side, Northern California, to Southern California, all kinds of fires. And they're not even all listed here, but you get the idea that there's fires burning everywhere. And so that's the fire that we know here in California, the regular California fires. And I'm glad to say that they are being brought under control. We know how to deal with this, but it's been getting worse every year. And so we do our best to battle, and we're making gains on those. But the most devastating fire, when we're talking about fires, the most devastating fire we're facing right now is the coronavirus fire. And you say, Pastor Perry, a coronavirus fire, well, it's kind of like a fire because it spreads like a fire. In fact, the Los Angeles Times just ran a headline just a few days ago, and the headline read like this. It said, California faces winter of misery as coronavirus is spreading like fire. That was their words, not mine. They said that California faces a winter of misery as coronavirus spreads like fire. And they're also saying that COVID cases are now more up. They're up 38% in the past 2 weeks, and that the number of people in intensive care is up 34% in the last 2 weeks. In other words, we've seen it on the networks. We've seen it on the news that they're right now. We're kind of in this winter season of COVID, and there's a lot of spiking going on. So in the United States already, nearly 250,000 people have already died. And in California, we're nearing a million people that have been affected. So I just want to show you for a second what a fire, I showed you what a fire map looks like, you know, the fires in California, but here's what a coronavirus map looks like, and you'll see it on your screen right now. You can see all of the areas in California that are kind of covered by the coronavirus, and it kind of does look like a fire map, doesn't it? Well, that's what our life is right now. We're trying to overcome the coronavirus, and it's really been a task, but God's going to help us. So, with all the bad news that we've been hearing day after day, what's the good news? You know, I'm sharing this with you. You go, well, what's the good news, Pastor Perry? Well, let me tell you what it is. The good news is this. God is going to get you through the fires of life. Let me say that again. God is going to get you through the fires of life. He really will. And one of my favorite Bible stories that demonstrates God's power when the heat is on is found in Daniel chapter 3. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and just turn to Daniel chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And it's the story of the three Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you've heard of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's even been songs written about them, but they were friends of Daniel. So in the book of Daniel, you'll remember Daniel in the lion's den. Then you'll also remember his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, let's kind of give you a little context here. King Nebuchadnezzar was the longest reigning and most powerful king of Babylon in those days, where many of the Jews had been exiled for 70 years. So if you really want to find out more about Babylon, just Google it. But you'll find out that many Jews were in Babylon for 70 years, and King Nebuchadnezzar was the longest reigning king. But King Nebuchadnezzar, instead of getting full of God, he got full of himself, and he built himself a golden image, and he set it up in the middle of the kingdom, and he commanded that everyone in the kingdom must bow down and worship the gold image or be thrown into a fiery furnace. So here's your option. Either, you know, and they sent out a herald and they just heralded it all over the place. Here's the new setup. You either bow down to the golden image, and when you hear all of the music playing, you bow down and worship the golden image, or if you don't, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace immediately. And there you can see on the screen, there's a picture of the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, all right? Huge golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And there in front of the golden image, you can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're the only ones standing while everyone else in the kingdom is bowing. You know, everyone in America today, it takes something to stand for something when everybody is bowing for something else. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego might have seemed to be out of step with their culture, but they were completely in step with God. And here's what you need to know, everyone. You might be out of step with your culture right now by standing up for something, but you want to be in step with God always. Hallelujah. So watch what happens now. Everyone in the kingdom bowed except for the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they, and by the way, they had already been promoted by the king. You know, Daniel came into the kingdom and he was promoted. And then Daniel brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before the king. And he says, you know, we need to have them overseeing Babylon. And so they were overseers of Babylon already. And so, you know, the king at Daniel's request had promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they already had a good place in the kingdom. So you can imagine that Nebuchadnezzar could have said, hey, you guys, I just promoted you, and now you're not even bowing to me? What's the deal with that? So Nebuchadnezzar heard that they had not bowed to the golden image, and he called them in for a meeting, all right? And so this is where we pick it up. And I want you to take your Bibles right now and just turn to Daniel 3, verse 14, all right? So Daniel 3 and verse 14, we'll pick up the story there. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Is this really true what I'm hearing? And he says, now I want to give you a second chance. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, maybe you didn't understand what we were trying to say here. Maybe you didn't understand what the herald had to say. But let me just give you the instructions right here in person. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, when you hear the music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image that I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a fiery, blazing furnace. And then he says this, then what God, with a small g, will be able to rescue you from my hand. Little did Nebuchadnezzar know at the time that we weren't talking about gods here with a small g. We were talking about the Almighty God with all capital letters, right? The one true God. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they replied to him and they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even need to be slow on our answer here. We don't even need to defend ourselves before you on this matter because we already know what we're going to say. And here's what they said. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. In other words, you serve a small God, but we serve an almighty God. And our God is going to deliver us from the fire, and he's going to deliver us from your hand. In other words, what they were saying is, we may burn, but we're not going to bow. I love that. When I was a kid, man, when I'd hear messages on this, you know, we may burn, but we're not going to bow. This has given Christians so much courage over the years and over the centuries, just this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how to stand up for God in an ungodly culture. So, look at verse 18. But even if he doesn't, even if God doesn't come to our rescue, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you've set up. Hallelujah. So then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them just changed. And he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. Anytime you see 7 times, you know, how many times are you supposed to forgive someone? 7 times 7. A man may fall 7 times and yet get up. But that 7 times thing means a lot. In other words, when you fire something up 7 times hotter than it's been, you're firing it up, you know, a lot hotter than it's ever been. That furnace was already hot, but they made it 7 times hotter because the king was so upset with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for taking a stand. And then he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. I mean, this is real, because he said when they broke the law, it's going to happen immediately. And that's exactly what happened when the king found out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not going to bow. He says, well, then now you're going to burn, and it's going to happen right now. So they got these strong soldiers around them, tied them up. And these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound, and they were thrown into the blazing furnace, or the fiery furnace. And the king's command was so urgent, the Bible says, look at verse 22, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them in it. So, I just remember this as a child, hearing this story and remembering how hot the fire is. Hey, everyone, sometimes in life, the fire gets really hot. And it's not only you that's going to get affected, but the people around you. And here's the soldiers throwing them in. And the fire was so hot that the soldiers that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire themselves were consumed by the fire. So these three men, firmly tied, the three Hebrew men, they fell into the blazing furnace. Why did they fall in? Because they couldn't stand up. They were tied up. They threw them into the furnace, and they fell into the furnace. Say it with me right now. They fell into the furnace. They didn't walk into the furnace. They fell into the furnace. They were thrown into the furnace. Well, case closed, right? That was a quick one. These guys now are going to be turning into ashes within a few minutes. So then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, Your Majesty, we just threw 3, and that's just what you asked for. But he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th one is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. And you can see the picture right here. It'll come up on the screen. You have the blazing fiery furnace. There's King Nebuchadnezzar looking on in. And there you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in the front. But right behind them is a figure. And he said, I see a figure that looks like the Son of God. And most theologians agree that this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ back in the Old Testament in that fiery furnace. And So you must see here this morning, everyone, and I'll get to the punchline real quick. But when you're in the fires of life, you're not alone, because God's going to send someone to be with him, with you, and that someone is his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And let me just say that God will help you to come out of the fire. You might be in the fire right now, but you're not going to be burned, and God's going to help you to come out of the fire in the name of Jesus. And then when this was all happening, all of a sudden, all of these officials, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors crowded around them, and they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed, and their robes were not scorched, and no smell of fire was on them. Now, I want you to check this out one more time. When they came out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire, all of these government officials saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. I don't know if you've ever been burned, or your finger been burned, or any part of your body been burned. Some people watching me today can really relate, because they've gone through a burn. It's terrible. There wasn't a burn on their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Now, everyone that's ever played around with fire or gotten too close of it, you've had your eyebrows or your hair singed, and you smell it right away. It just goes just like that, and you singe your hair. But nothing had been singed on them. Their robes were not scorched. Their clothes were not scorched. And there was no smell of fire. I'll say there was no smell of smoke on them. If you've ever been in a smoky situation or around a fire that is burning, that has smoke, you'll walk into the house and somebody says, "Where have you been?" "What do you mean, where have I been?" "Well, you got smoke all over. You smell like smoke." The smoke didn't come out. So let me just say this to you right now. God will get you through the fires of life without even the smell of smoke staying on you. Hallelujah. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." And they trusted in him, and they defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Now Nebuchadnezzar's having a change of heart, and he's saying that the one true God, the Almighty God, is the God. Hallelujah, the supreme God. Therefore, he says, "I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their house be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." I got to say something about Nebuchadnezzar. He was passionate one way or the other. He was going to get you saved or converted to God one way or the other. It was either going to be converted to him by throwing you in a fiery furnace, but now he says, "No, I want you to serve the one true God, and if you don't do that, you're going to be cut into pieces." You know, that wouldn't work too well in our systems today. But he was passionate about seeing people come to God. And I think a lot of people took him up on his offer, to tell you the truth, you know, that served the one true God. Fortunately, this time they got it right, though. He wasn't leading them to an idol. He was leading them to the one true God. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Hey, everyone, when you've gone through fire, you're going to be promoted. God says, "Man, I'm going to promote you." And every Bible character that you can look at that's really gone through deep water, times of testing, God brings you out the other side stronger, more blessed. Hallelujah. And so many times he just promotes you. And so here's what I want you to see today. The same God who saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God who will save you. And the same Jesus who is the fourth man in the fire is the same Jesus who will be with you and your family when you're going through the fires of life. So I want you to know that even though you're in the fire right now, God is going to bring you out of the fire. And the same God that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is going to be with you. The same Jesus that stood in the fire with that family of believers is going to stand in the fire with you and your family of believers. and he's going to bring you out of that fire, and you're not even going to smell the smell of smoke on you when you do get out. Hallelujah. God is going to deliver you completely from the hand of the adversary. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from each and every one. Hallelujah. And he'll deliver you as well. So thank God for the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want you to just take this today, great faith from this story and great courage from this story and great comfort from this story. You might be going through a fire, but God's not going to leave you alone. He's going to be with you, and he's going to send his son to rescue you as well. And you're going to come through it without even the smell of smoke. And if you believe that, say aloud, amen. Amen. Here's what I want you to see today. God's taken us through the fires of California, and he'll do it again, the real fires of California. But God is also going to take us through the fires of coronavirus. It's like it's spreading all over the United States and all around the world, but God is going to help us. Even now, there's good things happening. There's vaccines that are coming right now. In the next few months, we're going to see a lot of change. And I do believe that God's going to completely bring us out into the clear. And I'll tell you what, we're going to worship God and give thanks to God like never before. And that day is coming. And many people, let me say this too, many people are going to be saved. Just like they were saved in the kingdom of Babylon, they turned to God. I believe there's going to be a great turning to God in the United States and around the world. Who knows? Maybe after all of this affliction, we're on the verge of seeing one of the last great awakenings or last great revivals in our land and all around the world. So keep on having faith in God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, today I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every person that's going through the fire in your life. You might be saying, Pastor Bear, man, I just feel like I'm going through the fire. Well, I want to pray for you right now. And I want to thank the Lord that with every fire that we face, God is going to be with you. In fact, he's going to make sure that his son, Jesus, is also with you in that fire, the fourth man in the fire, and you'll not be burned, but you're going to be instead blessed. And even the smell of smoke's not going to be on you as well. So praise God. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, I thank you right now that you're with us today. Man, I feel God in this message. I feel God is helping us in this message. Lord, I just pray right now for every person that's tuning in, Lord God, to surround them with your presence and your power. God, let them know that you are with them wherever they go. You will never leave them or forsake them. Even in the middle of the fire, Lord God, you won't allow them to be burned. Lord God, you won't even allow the smell of smoke to be on them. But Lord, you're going to take them from that burning furnace into a blessing. And so, Lord, I just speak a blessing over every person. Lord, we turn to you today, Lord. We ask you to bless our own households, bless our own lives, Lord God, bless our children. We ask you to bless our nation and to help us. Lord, we're going through uncharted waters. And Lord, we don't even know what's going to be happening from day to day. But Lord, even though we don't know what the future holds, we know that you hold the future and that you're with us. Things that take us by surprise are not taking you by surprise. Lord, we put all of our trust in you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're the God that's with us. Even in the middle of the furnace of affliction, you're going to take us out. And Lord, when we've been tried by fire, Lord, we're going to come out just like gold in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just speak a blessing over you. But before I do, I want to just ask you right now if you've received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, the best thing that I ever did when I was a young person was to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I was about 8 years old, and I was led to Jesus by a board member, a deacon in our church, little church in North Dakota, and I knelt down on a Sunday night, and he led me to the Lord. I was about 8 years old. I'll never forget that. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. Let me ask you to make the most important decision that you've ever made in your life, and that's to receive Jesus Christ. In other words, I want you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and instead of bowing to this world, I want you to stand up for Jesus, stand up for God, and say, God, I want you in my life. So pray this prayer with me and let it be from your heart, not just your head, but from your heart. And God will give you a brand new start. You're going to become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. Just pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for speaking to my heart today. And dear Lord, I've heard your voice, and I open my heart to you. And I ask you to live inside of me, be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me of all of my sin, and give me a new life today. With my mouth, I now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Lord Jesus, I believe on you now, and I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And I pray in your holy name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, and I know that you did, let us know. You know, just contact us and let us know. And as soon as we're back on campus, come out to church or go to a local church in your area. Get plugged in with God, get plugged in with other believers. But you're beginning a brand new life that's going to be a better life than you've ever lived. Thank you, Lord God. Your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, you're registered in heaven, and you're also part of the family of God. And the Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing today just to know that you have come home to the Father who is God. So I bless you today, and I encourage you in your brand new walk with Jesus. Now, for everyone that's watching today, I want to just send you on with a blessing into this week, all right? And here's the blessing. It comes out of Romans 8:38, and Paul is writing again. He says this, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation," remember that, anything else in all creation, "will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the question is, who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. I speak that over you right now. Remember, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you and have a great day. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday at Harvest Church at Home. Next Sunday is going to be like a Thanksgiving Sunday. Barbara and myself will be here. We'll be sharing communion together. I'm going to be talking about how to be thankful in the midst of all the circumstances of life, all right? We're going to talk about that next Sunday, but it's going to be a great start to our Thanksgiving week. We'll look forward to seeing you then. God bless you.